All right, I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley. That dude?
Yes, sir.
All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself, the most fearless show in sports. Coming up, we'll tell you if Zion Williamson is about to follow in LeBron James' footsteps, but we start with Kawhi Leonard. They're calling it Kawhi Watch, but that title really only applies in Canada.
Okay.
Here in the United States of America, the Kawhi Leonard free agency circus is just another episode of As LeBron Turns, or These Are the Days of LeBron's Life, or LeBron and the Restless. Right. NBA free agency is a daytime soap opera, and LeBron James is Erica Kane, Luke Spencer, and Karen Wolick all rolled into 1 6'9", 260-pound package. Yeah, I grew up on the ABC soap operas. All My Children, General Hospital, One Life to Live.
Me too.
Every year, LeBron has a new plot twist. The decision was like Luke and Laura getting married in 1981. 30 million people tuned in to see Luke and Laura tie the knot. It was the biggest event in daytime soap opera history. When LeBron left Miami to go back to Cleveland, that was Erica Kane marrying Adam Chandler for the first time. Erica got married like a dozen times to 7 different men on All My Children, but I believe Adam was her true love, just like Cleveland is LeBron's true love. When LeBron left Cleveland for Los Angeles, it reminded me of Karen Wolak taking the witness stand and admitting her previous life as a prostitute. It was like an earthquake hit the city of Landview. Larry, her husband, immediately demanded a divorce. It was scandalous, y'all. Let me get this back to basketball. We don't really care about Kawhi. He's a terrific player, but he's not all that interesting. He doesn't talk. He has a silly laugh. He's not a leading character. He's a supporting actor in LeBron's off-season daytime soap opera. We care about Kawhi because what his decision means for and says about LeBron. Is LeBron going to win any more championships? Will Kawhi make the Hollywood James experience a success? Is LeBron going to put together a second super team? Kawhi is destined to be an NBA footnote. He's John Havlicek. Hondo won 8 NBA titles, but no one talks about him. He's not revered. I'm not trying to diminish Havlicek or Kawhi, but they don't have the it factor that makes them immortals. Kawhi is like Jesse Hubbard from All My Children. Jesse had a great run on the show, particularly during the 1980s. Jesse was a college dropout who was falsely accused of rape by Liza Colby and eventually rose to chief of police in Pine Valley. He eloped with Angie Baxter. Mm. Jesse was a nice story, but he blew his shot at superstardom when he walked away from a singing career with Yvonne Campbell. That was heartbreaking. All right, that's Kawhi. He's a nice story, but he's just a LeBron James backup singer. LeBron is the show. He's the headliner. If LeBron and the Lakers weren't involved in Kawhi's free agency decision, there would be no frenzy around Kawhi. He doesn't talk. His style of play is boring. He wears New Balance shoes, for God's sake. Let me repeat. He wears walking shoes for fat people. I own a pair. At this point, I don't care where Kawhi plays. I just want the Kawhi watch to end so we can get back to talking about LeBron James. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NBA analyst Jim Jackson, Bleacher Report's Rick Bucher, Marcellus,
yes.
Get us rolling here. Is the obsession with Kawhi's decision more about Kawhi or LeBron?
You shed a tear, Luke and Lord.
Who didn't? Who didn't?
All right, let me go back to this. This is entirely about Kawhi Leonard. And it's an age-old attribute that Kawhi Leonard is highlighting right now that we all are envious of and we all beg for. This is not about the chosen one. This is not about LeBron James. This is about Kawhi and redemption. The reason why we love Kawhi Leonard right now, and the reason why there is an obsession about Kawhi Leonard is the redemption story. Being exiled from one of the most storied franchises in this sport, being labeled a pariah, a problem, outcast, exiled to another country to play the game of basketball, and then gets on a team without star power, really. Kyle Lowry, but we know how he is in the playoffs. And Kawhi Leonard stays silent through that process and climbs that mountain, leading that pack that never could get over that hump. And now we're obsessed because we're all sitting here as human beings knowing we're flawed, knowing that we all wear different uniforms to try to cover and hide those same flaws. And this dude showed the mental toughness and the physical capability to get to that mountaintop. Now, what does he do? Because he has power now. Because he's activated all of us and all of our issues to say this is the face of someone who was flawed, who's redeemed himself. I would love this to be about the king, the chosen one, but it's not. It's about a guy who climbed a mountain that we're all trying to climb, and now we respect him to the fullest.
I should be sitting right there because I'm right between you two. Mm. It is and it isn't. It is about LeBron in that people are hoping that Kawhi Leonard is not LeBron James. They're hoping that he's not a guy who abandoned franchises. They're hoping that he's not a guy who's into the glitz and the glamour, doesn't need to join star teams, that he can do it by himself. And it isn't, in that this isn't so much LeBron, it's about, can we really believe that any player is who we think they are? Yeah. Because that's what he appears to be. He appears to be his own man. He appears to be a guy who doesn't need LA or the Lakers or Showtime. He appears to be all that. And if he goes to the Lakers and joins LeBron, it's not so much just about LeBron. It's that, damn, who is Kawhi Leonard? We'd like to think he is who we think he is, which is not LeBron, but ultimately, if he goes and joins LeBron, then we don't know who he is.
This is where I disagree. Young and the Restless was better than
Okay? Stop that.
Victor Newman, I think Victor Newman is still on there right now, okay? He's been there 40 years. So that's where you messed up the first time.
All right.
But, I think both things can be true about LeBron and Kawhi. I think that, I don't know if Kawhi's team did this on purpose, but it's worked out in their favor. And what I mean is that if Kawhi makes his decision on Sunday or Monday, he gets wrapped into the KD, Kyrie, Clay, and it's a footnote.
This past Sunday.
When everybody else kind of made their decision. By stretching this thing out, that's all we've been talking about is Kawhi. When going into free agency, we knew it was going to be big, but we didn't know it was going to be like this. Everybody wasn't going to wait to see where Kawhi went. It was all about Kevin Durant, and really Kyrie, okay? But I love the fact that your point, we don't know who he is. Will he stay? Will he go? We built Kawhi to be this guy, this mysterious guy that doesn't talk. What's his attitude like? He doesn't need to be around other people. Kind of like Giannis, I don't want to go play with anybody else. I'm going to go get mine because I'm going to get mine, okay? So I hope at the end of the day for Kawhi, and I'm not going to say that he can't be, I don't think he's going to be more of a footnote because he's taken a franchise that, couldn't get past, get out the East, and he's won a championship, and he did it without superstars. So where his greatness will ultimately be, it's too early to tell. But I think he's setting himself up to do something special. That quiet demeanor, if he stays and they continue to be successful, can be a legacy for him.
You're arguing he's really elevated his brand over this past week by playing it this way, and he's become more than I'm perhaps giving credit for.
Think about the news cycles. That's all we're talking about. Yeah. If he does this on last Monday or Tuesday, it's done.
Right.
But the whole time going, it's like almost like Will Smith. You knew on the 4th of July for a period of time Will Smith was going to.
Here comes
a movie.
Movie.
You were anticipating. This whole time we've been waiting for Kawhi. The whole time.
The real beauty of it is he hasn't had to say a word
about it. This is free advertising and marketing you cannot pay
for. It's the Marshawn Lynch school of marketing. say less.
It
actually had more impact. And it's amazing. LeBron's universe is beyond basketball. Okay. That's where his greatness is. On the court, let's just be real, 28-9-9, we get it. No playoffs. Now you got AD, a lot of speculation of what this team will be. Mm-hmm. It's not a team right now. It's top heavy. So it's not just LeBron. His universe is, okay, on the court, still great. But off the court, I have tremendous impact. But that impact doesn't really cross with what Kawhi is in terms of brand or in terms of what he desires. So I just can't see LeBron having that reach. He may become a Laker, but it's not because of LeBron exclusively.
I'll say this. If he goes to the Lakers, I'm less interested in Kawhi. Mm-hmm. If he stays in Toronto, I'm less interested in Kawhi. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be honest with you. If he comes to the Clippers, I'm fascinated.
And I want to say that. I agree.
And because, is it because of, if he, you know what he can do in,
if he comes to the Lakers, he's second fiddle behind LeBron.
Right, but period, you're saying that in Toronto, you already saw what he could be in Toronto. But with the Clippers, what really attracts you? What really makes you say that him going to the Clippers,
you have more intrigue? The biggest laughing stock in the NBA history.
Bam.
And he would be coming, he would be declaring war with LeBron, and I love that.
Bam.
And so I think those things... I think the Raptors are a nice little story, but they're not an American story. Some people still, Kyle Lowry, and there's a dude, Van Vliet or whatever.
a dude made big shots. You know what I mean?
For most people in America, they don't even know who's on the damn team. Siakam, Ibaka.
Yeah, no, I get it. Can I just, for me... If you go back to Toronto, the chances are you won't have that same success. Let's just be real. You would bet against them winning another championship.
What? With,
no. You would bet against them.
No.
You would bet 29 other teams versus that one Toronto repeating. I would. I don't know what Vegas is saying.
Repeating,
yes.
So back to back or just winning
back
one?
Back to back.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
So guess what? Now you're in a situation, even if we do win another championship back to back, what's the impact in Toronto in terms of what we just did? It goes from joy to relief. Because you know once you win one, then the pressure's on you. And then if you win another one, they're going to say, oh, we got another one. I don't think you move the needle in terms of impact. The impact is with the Clippers. I'm not just saying that because I'm a Clipper fan. It's because you did in Toronto what you can do in L.A. with the Clippers. You go to L.A., you win one, guess what? It's 17. Like, you're just going to get kind of lost in that shuffle. So I think in terms of impact, it seems the greatest.
By the way, after you pounded the table, now I know where that earthquake came yesterday. Are you more, and I'll throw this to all three of you, are you more interested in the Nets now?
Yes.
They have Kyrie Irving?
No.
Yes. Kevin Durant?
By far.
No.
That's my point.
No?
I feel as if Kyrie, I'm intrigued, but Kawhi going to the Clippers, it would be more like, okay, now let me see. I don't know if it's going to sustain my interest. I agree. I disagree with you wholeheartedly. If he goes back to Toronto, they are the favorite for me to win another title.
Hmm.
And if he goes to the Lakers, they are the favorite.
I give you that one.
To win the next title. But I think wherever he lands, I think it's wide open, and they are the favorite. And for him to go back there, and to win two in a row for the Raptors. Let's consider for a second the history of winning a championship with the Raptors and how that turned the NBA and the sports world on its ear. To do it back-to-back there, I think that carries a lot more weight.
But it's the Cleveland situation for LeBron. You did it once. Okay, they didn't do it again. But doing it once seems like that's enough for that market. Toronto, that's enough. If you give them another one, I just don't think it's gravy.
Air's out of the balloon.
Yeah.
So let me ask this quickly. My contention is the way that he plays and his personality, I think it's going to be impossible. I really believe for Kawhi Leonard to be in the discussion as one of the 10 best players of all time. An all-time great. Again, I see him in that Havlicek lane. And maybe Havlicek was never as good as Kawhi, but Kawhi ain't won an MVP yet of the regular season. Do you see Kawhi ever putting himself in the conversation with Kobe and LeBron and Magic and those guys?
I do. I think it's still early because he has so much more to accomplish. I think this year, he answered a lot of the questions that were out there. In particular, could he really be that dynamic of a player to lead, to win? Coming out of San Antonio, the thing about it was because you were with Ginobili and Duncan and Parker, we saw bits and pieces of you kind of dominating, but we didn't see it where it was all about you. He still has a lot of growth, I think, in his game to grow. Will he be ultimately in the top 10? I think it depends on how much more he wins, how much more he improves. Personality-wise, Bird didn't have a great personality. He wasn't flashy. You know what I mean? But
he had a personality. That was the hit.
And he was a face of the racial inequality. Yeah.
But here's the thing, he wasn't a dynamic. He'd have the smile or the personality of a Magic Johnson. He didn't have the flash of a...
Talk smack, Jim.
I know, but I'm just saying, but he wasn't of that ilk of those kind of guys. And I'm not saying that Kawhi is, but everybody's not going to be built like that.
Sure. He has to win at least a couple more championships before he enters that circle. And because of his injury history, I'm not convinced that he's going to be able to get a couple more over the next 5-6 years. But He's also, he's in the cat, I put him in the category of the Tim Duncans and the John Stocktons. We easily forget how good they were. And then we quickly remember, oh, wait a minute. Like, we don't talk about Tim Duncan among the top 10. But then you stop and you look at his accomplishments.
You're the first person in the history of the planet to put Tim Duncan and John Stockton.
I'm saying in terms of the person.
I just want to clean that up. Tim Duncan's in the argument for one of the 10 greatest players of all time and won five titles. But go ahead.
But my point, well, my point being, arguably, at one point, arguably the best player in the conversation for best players at their position.
Oh, yeah.
Fair?
Oh, yeah. Fair.
And forgotten because of their personalities.
John Stockton?
Among
the point guards? Was never better than Isaiah.
I'm not saying.
Never better than Magic
Johnson.
I said
in the conversation.
Not in it. My con, not in my house.
What? When Magic retired and Isaiah was done. Come on his last leg. Yeah, John Stockton, don't do that. He just didn't have a championship to get that universal validation. Back on topic, let me just say this.
Go ahead, I'm sorry. I don't like John Stockton simply because he stole a dream team spot from Isaiah. But go ahead.
It all came back to the living room.
Go ahead,
Christian Laettner didn't steal the spot? What do you want? We're going to go to John Stockton.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I got a side. Go ahead, Marcelo.
I will just say this. I think he will get lost in history. As we've learned from history and his own personal history, look, he won a finals MVP on a team where he was the fifth best in terms of attention and getting that kind of love and accolade. Even Popovich gets more love than Kawhi Leonard in those moments. And even when he was a better player, he still was more reserved in terms of getting his proper credit. I think that Kawhi Leonard going forward, no matter how many championships he wins, until he gets out of his skin, is going to do himself a disservice. That Nike deal that got terminated is part of what we're talking about. You're with New Balance. Respect to New Balance. Hey, they got Coco Gauff right now.
Yeah,
I mean, she just won the Wimbledon. She going up. New Balance is on the rise. I give them that.
Right.
But there were some key metrics that Nike used in conversation with Kawhi to say, hey, man, you're losing in these categories. And Kawhi, being himself, standing in his own skin and comfort zone, chose to ignore those things. That's what we're talking about. What's going to elevate you? What's going to fuel you up that when the points and the rebounds and assists stop for you?
But does he want that?
It doesn't seem
like
it.
We may want it more than he does.
You want to party like a football star?
Yeah.
Well, Saturday, July 20th, at the one and only Dre's Beach Club in Las Vegas, you can join Ty Dolla $ign, that dude Marcellus Wiley, and the entire Speak for Yourself crew at the pool party of the summer. For tickets or more information, visit dresgroup.com. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, Jim Jackson and Rick Bucher are back. Time now for a big story. Let's move to Zion Williamson, who will make his much-anticipated Summer League debut tonight in Las Vegas. Without question, Zion is the most hyped rookie since LeBron took the league by storm in 2003. Since then, LeBron has reshaped the league in his image, altering everything from how teams are built to how stars approach the regular season to the league's stance on political activism. There's a new sheriff coming to town, and his name is Zion Williamson, and his impact on this league will be just as big as LeBron James, in my opinion. I wish that this whole Kawhi situation wasn't hovering over tonight's game and everybody be talking about the debut of Zion.
New sheriff in town?
Yeah, new sheriff.
Or training day ride-along rookie? You ain't the new sheriff in town. Once again, we were just talking about this off camera. Sometimes you got to dig into the annals to really know the impact. LeBron James as a rookie came out after being termed, whether it was self-appointed or not, the king and the chosen one, had real veterans calling him just that because as a rookie, he averaged 21. 21. Zion is coming out with greatness, hype, potential, and people are questioning, is it going to translate? That was not a conversation for LeBron James. It was like, where is it going to land? And then LeBron James is taking it, as you just mentioned, so many different directions, to the tune of a projection of having the most points, assists, and rebounds in NBA history. Will Zion have that type of impact? Let me take the field. Let me take less than. And that could still be amazing, but the king has already come.
Zion's going to average 20 this year. Go ahead. Oh, go ahead. He's going to average 20 this year.
Be careful what you ask for. He's about to get his comeuppance tonight in Summer League. Mm. He's playing against Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Knox. If I'm going based on the Knicks roster, they got guys who've been in the league already for a year. That's not going to be an easy matchup. And I look at the Pelicans, and he doesn't have a whole lot around him. The problem that I have is you're already dooming him to fail by saying that he's going to be the next LeBron James. LeBron. Because what that means is not that he's going to have comparable numbers as a rookie. It means that he has to go to the finals 9 times. It means he has to win 3 championships.
I'm not predicting all of that.
Yes, you are. He's going to have the same impact as LeBron James. He's going to be a 3-time league MVP.
Come on, bro.
He's going to be a 15-time All-Star.
That's what I'm saying.
That's what Zion Williamson is going to be if he can just be him on the court. Well, never mind. He's going to be a $1 billion athlete
Let me say this. I hope that Zion doesn't come to the league and 5 or 6, 7, 8 years in and say, oh, I better team up with 2 Hall of Famers.
That's the argument.
If he does that, he may go to 9 straight NBA finals. But wait on the general manager
to do it. If he doesn't do it, just sit there and be quiet and don't win a championship, huh? That's the way to go, huh?
I think the impact, early on, yes, in this aspect.
Thank you.
Impact? I'm not talking about over career totality. Yeah. Let's just look at this year.
Day one landed, rookie year.
Because what LeBron James was able to bring was a few things. From a marketability perspective, from the Cleveland Cavs, nobody was talking about him.
Yeah.
They talked about Cleveland. From a TV situation, Cleveland was never on TV. Guess what? Mm. LeBron James, you're on TV.
I was on TV in high school.
But what he brought was that.
School.
With Zion, he's the only one in the draft right now that can come out and command those kind of things for a team like New Orleans. New Orleans is going to be on national TV than they've been on.
Yeah.
That's because of the impact of Zion Williamson. Whatever happens is already made. ESPN right now basically asked the NBA, listen, we need to put these games tonight in our primetime slots for today tomorrow. Good. That's because of Zion.
Lonzo Ball had the same thing.
No, not like this.
Yes, see.
No.
Summer League?
Hold up, no.
Y'all, stop it, Marcelo. Summer League?
Are you putting Lonzo Ball compared to that? Bro.
In terms of what they asked for, yes.
But the impact.
I was there.
LeBron
wearing the chains, you sitting there watching Lonzo Ball.
I remember that. Okay. That impact is totally different, bro. Totally. Listen, let me tell you something. When Lonzo came in, was the real hype across the country about him in the Lakers?
No, this is greater. But this is in the world.
From an impact, he's already having one similar to what LeBron had coming in.
My greater was Lonzo, not LeBron. I'm going to go back.
But understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying over the course of his career, but he's already had a LeBron type of impact early on. The rest he has to do once he get on the court.
Let me give him another.
I need some help.
There's a damn good chance New Orleans is going to get the 8th or 7th playoff spot in the West. LeBron didn't make the playoffs as a rookie.
Right.
Zion Williamson is on a team that has a chance, I think, to win 45, 48 games, perhaps. And so that is impact. Jim, you've made some hellacious points, and I'm glad you came with those. Because, again, the television impact. We've already seen the man just carry the whole NCAA on his shoulders for an entire season. And I'm not knocking LeBron. He went straight from high school to college.
He skipped that part.
But this man did it, and no one, Lonzo Ball, none of them carried the NCAA the way this kid just did.
LeBron carried high school.
Yeah, but Carmelo did the same thing.
No, he didn't. Stop.
As far as the tournament?
No.
As far as the tournament?
Not the whole season. Not the whole season.
No.
I think you missed
it. I covered all of that. All of it. They played Kansas.
Carmelo covered all of that. Carmelo was a pretty big deal.
Carmelo won it all. Pretty big deal.
And then went and did make the playoffs as a rookie.
Yeah.
Here's my point. There's a difference in the roles that they're playing. LeBron James, when he joined the Cleveland Cavaliers, their best player was what? Zydrunas Ilgauskas? Maybe?
Who played the All-Star game, but go ahead.
But LeBron had the ball in his hands. David Griffin wasn't just speaking in semantics when he said this is Drew Holiday's team. Zion Williamson is not even the best player on his team. LeBron James, when he came into the league, he was instantly the best player on the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Let me tell you another team he wasn't the best player on before the games tipped off. Duke. Mm-hmm. He wasn't the top recruit.
Okay.
And so
R.J. Barrett got hurt.
But again, Zion Williams is better than R.J. The NBA just decided that.
We about to find out.
The NBA just decided that when they took
this kid. No, draft choice doesn't mean you are.
He was the consensus number one overall pick. And so I'm just sorry. They could, it could be Drew Holiday's team today. Come January, I guarantee you, Zion. We're about to see. What I think we're about to see is Charles Barkley 2.0. The round mound, the rebound, about to be done again. Only better. I think this kid's going to be better.
But I think you're shortchanging the dynamics of what this young man can be. The question was, how would his game translate from high school to college? He answered that question. Yes, there's things he still needs to work on. I think the range of his ability is still growing. Yeah. He's going to show so much more because this game opens up. So right now, we're talking in a vacuum about what he can't do.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
When Karl Malone came into the league, guess what? He was a terrible free throw shooter.
Yes.
Terrible, but he ended up becoming a better free throw. Everybody comes into this.
Didn't really have a mid-range.
But listen, everybody comes into this game with flaws. Right. Michael Jordan really couldn't shoot three-point shots when he came in. But I think the ability of this young man, his attitude and his work ethic, the game is going to open up. He's going to show us all something different in his game as he grows in the NBA's rookie year.
I love his personality.
That's the other point.
I'm not here to knock Zion.
No, me
either. What I'm here to knock is the idea that you want to put him next to LeBron James.
This.
You can't.
That.
You just.
I haven't even seen that.
Look, LeBron James, for all that he did, was not Michael Jordan. He was supposed to be. He was supposed to supplant him. You come in, you're not going to win six championships in 6 years. Well, you know what? Zion Williamson isn't. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Zion Williamson is not going to go to 9 NBA finals. And he's not going to be a three-time league
MVP. He's not
going
to cherry-pick a couple of Hall of Famers to play with
whatever
and abandon his franchise. You're right. He's not
going
to.
But you know what? Jason, you know the particulars. But when you just put the headline, he's going to be the next LeBron, people aren't looking at particulars.
The headline. Will Zion have a LeBron-like impact on the NBA? And I'm talking about his rookie year and coming in. Just on site, the guy.
It doesn't say anything about rookie year here.
I designated.
Has he signed a shoe deal yet?
Yeah, what?
No.
He is.
Jordan.
He's
going to sign Jordan.
He is.
I'm not saying he's not, and I'm not going to say it's not going to be a mega deal. But I'm saying LeBron got this thing rolling quickly, man. This thing was already moving.
But
it ain't
you think the only reason why he didn't sign because they don't, the deal
don't
is not out
in
there?
In the room and that I'm not in.
The deal is already out there.
You're the king. One of your biggest slogans is.
No, LeBron's the king.
No, one of your biggest slogans is. There's different ways to get up the mountain.
Oh, there is.
And so you think the LeBron way is the only way.
No.
This kid is going to climb the mountain a different way. It's going to be with his performance. It's going to be with his personality. LeBron's got a great personality. There's certain guys, and again, that's why I don't like the Lonzo comparison or Carmelo Anthony. Those aren't people that when you see them on site, there's a little excitement or buzz. This kid's smile, his size, there's Shaq. There's LeBron.
Yes. All that.
There's certain guys that like create an excitement and aura, and you want to see. Yeah, it's going to be LeBron like. Yes.
LeBron like.
Is that not how the question was posed?
Yeah, LeBron.
It's going to be. So don't give me this, there are other ways up the mountain. No, there's not. This is supposed to be the LeBron way up the mountain.
Yeah, end it there.
Jim Jackson and Rick Bucher are back. Let's move to Kevin Durant. Didn't waste any time making his decision to leave Golden State and team up with Kyrie Irving in Brooklyn after a bitter end to his final year with the Warriors. Now Durant's former OKC teammate Kendrick Perkins says Durant left because he couldn't get over his fight with Draymond Green, who reportedly cussed Durant out and told him the team didn't need him during an argument back in November. Would this be foolish? This is the reason Durant left Golden State.
It would be foolish if that's the way it happened, but that's not the way it occurred. We all know, we've all been in this situation before, when you have contemplations, maybe even some forecasts of changing things up. And you may be on the fence. Out of respect, you're giving your whole, your mind, body, soul to your commitment, but your mind in some idle time starts to wonder. And he didn't leave because of this beef. The beef confirm why I should leave. And there's a huge difference in that, because I've been here before. Walk into practice, I'm like, all right, free agency this year, they tripping around here. But no, I'm going all in. I'm going to get my money. I'm going to get my opportunity. I'm going to do my job. And then coach, bah, rah, rah, rah. Then your teammates, nah, 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 nah. And I'm like, yep, y'all confirming why I'm going to dip. Mm-hmm. And that's all this is. So in timeline, in terms of the psychology of the timeline, I don't think the beef did anything but confirm what he was already feeling. Draymond saw and smelled that smoke, reacted to it, and it just gave confirmation to it.
Look, he signed the 1-1, and that gave him the opportunity, and he was noncommittal from the summertime, long before that beef ever happened. Uh-huh. But I have no problem if that beef was the reason that he jumped off, because we all, if we because we all, if we have the latitude to work with who we want to work with, where we want to work, doing what we want to do, we're all going to take that into consideration. I only want to work with people that I enjoy working with. Yeah. If I have the choice, he knows Kyrie Irving. If I'd rather go there and I'm done with, what's that?
Enjoy is the key word here, not win. Winning, yep. W-I-N. Shouldn't that be the determining factor?
Maybe it should be, but it isn't for everybody.
No.
He went to Golden State.
Would you rather win or enjoy?
Enjoy, not even close.
Well, I'd like to do both.
I'd like to do both. Look, but I will say this. You give me one or the other.
But ultimately, I want to win with people that I'm going to enjoy winning with. Mm. So if I'm going to win, but it's, man, this is a rough road the entire time, then yeah, you know what? I'd like to believe that I can go. I mean, look, here's the bottom line. The only thing that I can guarantee is that I am going to enjoy who I'm with. I can't guarantee that I'm going to win, whether I'm with people that I don't like
Preach.
Or with people that I do.
Check our divorce rate to see if you can guarantee enjoyment, but go ahead.
But to answer your question, yes, it's foolish if that was it, if that's the only thing. But we know inside. But
Jim, not to interrupt, but.
Go ahead. You did interrupt.
The things that, I love that. But the things that he called him. It's not just like.
Listen.
That part.
This is what I'm saying. But I get that. I do believe within locker rooms, there's verbal and nonverbal language that goes on. I do think it was more than just this, okay?
Yeah.
Over that time period, especially with Draymond, because he is vocal, but also his body language speaks a lot to what's going on. Kevin Durant, yeah. Does he want to be happy? Yeah, he makes a decision. He wants to be happy. He wasn't entirely satisfied and happy even with the winning in Golden State. Okay, part of it was to Silicon Valley tech company. I want to expand. Well, now he gets a chance to do it in New York.
I'm going to lean heavier into what Rick is saying. And what I'm saying, this whole winning versus enjoyment argument, we both want to agree them. If we can't, Golden State won 73 regular season games.
But he didn't enjoy it. That's what I'm saying.
And didn't win. And then went to get him to help give them more security and winning when there is no guarantees, like this year, that you'll win because of injury or other circumstances. Here's the thing that is amazing. What Chris Rock say? A man is as faithful as his options. Mm-hmm. And we ain't just talking about fidelity here. We're talking about a guy who has got to the top of the pyramid in terms of individual accomplishments, even some team accomplishments. Now he wants to have peace of mind in that process instead of being with people that he's pitted against.
Okay, so Marcellus, you helped make my point in terms of Draymond Green, Steph Curry, and Klay Thompson are sitting here watching this discussion, and they would say, you think we didn't give up some enjoyment when we brought you in? You think Klay didn't like running around, shooting whatever he wanted? You think Draymond didn't like running the offense more? We gave up some enjoyment to make room for you so we could win. You're not cut like us. You're not willing to give up some enjoyment because Draymond is an annoyance in the locker room. There's always that guy that's going to test you and going to push you and be the kind of, you know, Michael Jordan did it to guys. I'm sure there were guys that didn't enjoy playing with Mike, but they love hoisting them championships. Sure. And Steve Kerr is seen as a great winner, and a bunch of other guys seen as great winners because of that. So I think they're saying, look, man, we sacrificed some enjoyment too. But, okay, you ain't man enough for this. Draymond's going to run you up out of here.
I wouldn't take it that way. I would use the Bay Area in its history in another sport, football, I was just watching Deion Sanders, how he was flip-flopping between the 49ers and the Cowboys, being the difference maker on both and winning Super Bowls. And it wasn't this negative connotation. You could say it's football. You could say a different era. Whatever it is, there are some people who have been protected and they're hopping to opportunities based on, I'm afforded this opportunity and privilege. How come Kevin Durant, who signed a deal that said, I have the opportunity to leave you guys, I've never played with guys where I'm like, our friendship is hinged on you playing with me. Mm-hmm. Even if I recruited you. Mm-hmm. I know buddy deals that got guys all recruited to the mm-hmm. same school. If you want to transfer, bro, still love.
Right.
Go get it over there. I see you at the top. I don't understand why our friendship is hinged on us playing on the same team.
Here are two other elements that we're forgetting. Number one, they went and got KD after they lost.
That's what I was saying.
73 wins and they lost. And they looked at KD, and every one of them will tell you, because he could do something that they couldn't do. He was a piece that was capable of doing things that they could not do. And they had played with him on the national team. So I don't know that they went into it saying, this isn't going to be fun and we're not going to enjoy being around each other. Mm. I think that was a discovery as the process went on. You know what? We're not boys like the original
That's
three
were That's a false
boys.
Dichotomy, though, because I don't think anybody thinks like, well, this won't be fun. I just think people are like, oh, I'm going to have to play different than how I like. It'll be fun because we'll win. I think it's not stated here, but it's somewhat insinuated, I think, by Kendrick, that KD thought, oh, they'll move on from Draymond and keep me. And I think that was the play for Golden State if they really wanted to keep KD, is move on from Draymond. And the organization said, no, this is one of our core guys. We need a guy that's a bit of an a-hole on our team. Mm. We like what he, you know, we know he's a little crazy, but he's our crazy and he's committed to us. And I think they chose to stick with Draymond and Kevin Durant. And I'm telling you, I'll go back to this again. If he had went to the Knicks with Kyrie or with someone else, I don't think Golden State is upset at all. But when they see him go to Brooklyn, it's like, damn, he just wanted out of here. Mm. I mean, he just wanted out of here.
Left the mansion and go there? Yeah. You don't like me no more. No, I get it.
But I think, but it's hard, Marcel, you can understand this. Winning and enjoying it is a dichotomy itself because it's hard, especially when you have different personalities. You have male egos. You have a lot of things that go on that even when you're winning, sometimes it's not enjoyable.
Yeah.
Because of the pressure to it, especially in Golden State, and I said this yesterday, is that, you know, talking with Steve Kerr and management there, this has been their toughest year just because of everything, the expectations hyped on what they're doing. It was their hardest year to kind of get back to the finals. So all of that put into that pot, yeah, I want to win and I want to enjoy it, but at the same time, sometimes that doesn't happen. It's going to be some kind of conflict within winning.
But you have the control when it comes to joy.
No, you
first,
hold on. Marcelo, you can say that, but when you're in a team, if you're an individual sport, I would say yes. In the team environment, it's a lot of factors that don't make you enjoy, not all the time.
Right. No.
But sometimes.
But you know what you don't control? Winning. You don't control the winning.
Right?
Like the joy. You can be in a bad situation, bad dynamic, and still say, I choose to relish this even though this is not ideal and it's coming to an end.
Locke and Wiley, Jim Jackson and Rick Bucher are back. Time to get antisocial. All right, let's get the flex out of the way here.
Yeah, already.
Flex. Ah!
Woo! I said after the fourth tequila wearing off right there.
Yes, sir. I got my Baker Mayfield on. He getting married, so I got to shout out to my guy Baker.
Same as you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Same boat.
All right, what's popping in Twitter land?
Yeah, we're going to start with my favorite QB of all time, Peyton Manning. Mm. The Colts legend was known for changing the play on the field with his famous Omaha call and for his overall knowledge of the game. Fans always wonder why he never considered becoming a football analyst. Well, reports came out that Peyton turned down a Monday Night Football gig because he wouldn't want to be conflicted in his analysis of his brother Eli and former teammates. Personally, I understand where he's coming from, but do you guys have a problem with this?
No, I actually like the transparency of it and the honesty of it, just the self-awareness. Like, because I think a lot of people go into broadcasting and they struggle talking about former peers and colleagues. He's acknowledging it would be a struggle, and I'm going to stay out of it. So I think it's smart.
I love it, too. And his description of how he became Peyton Manning the great. He said, I was all in on football. Didn't do another thing but football, football. And that's telling about why he won't be a broadcaster right now, because he's going to go all in. Mm-hmm. And that can't come with reservation. That can't come, oh, that's my boy. Oh, he texted me last week. Oh, we got a deal going on. So I think until Peyton sees that the landscape is clear of all those real strong relationships, he's just going to tap out.
Has he done anything that he hasn't been good at?
Commercials. He's a great pitch man, ain't he?
All of that. And to that point, his pitch is, and his image is, authenticity. You feel like Peyton is always giving you the real, whether he's downgrading a singer in an insurance commercial, whatever it might be. If he's half-stepping in any way on Monday Night Football, then that's going to damage his brand and his image. And that's going to cost him.
Yeah, and as somebody that calls games, it is a challenge. That's the biggest thing for guys coming out of the league, especially fresh out, of how do you go in and be critical without criticizing a lot of times, especially in professional sports, because you have those relationships. And a lot of guys are not honest with themselves of how they approach it. Mm. Peyton right now said, listen, bro, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. Because, like you said, all in. And if I can't go all in, I'm not going to be authentic. I'm not going to be honest. And now I'm not going to do my job. Don't even do it.
Tony Romo's also raised the bar.
Yo, right? Witten dropped the bar and Romo It's like, where do I fit, brother?
Yep. All right, moving to the NBA. Last night, our guy Kendrick Perkins tweeted a pic of the 2008 Celtics Championship squad out for a reunion dinner. Twitter immediately knows that Ray Allen was missing and went wild. Remember the beef between Ray and the Celtics started back in the summer of 2012 when he left for the rival Miami Heat. Looks like Rondo and the guy still haven't patched things up with Ray since then. But do you guys think the Celtics beef will ever end?
Eventually. Time heals all wounds.
No, it don't.
Talk to your grandma. Your grandma still mad at her auntie. Right. Like, auntie ain't been over 14 turnovers in a row.
So no, all healed. All's not healed. Man, I don't think it's gonna end. I just don't. I mean, look, there's been enough time. They're all mature. They got their own lives, family. They're in their different careers, and this still is an issue. No. Two, Kevin Garnett, Chris Haynes-ish in the back there. Look at that picture again.
real darky.
Get you an Android. Get off the iPhone pics at night.
Hey, Whit, you go to think. They at our spot. They at Wally's. That's that back room at Wally's. See, come on, man. You got to pick up on that. That's the back room. So, first of all, I love to pick because of that.
Yeah.
But listen, the Fab Five still haven't made up. Okay? Exactly. And it's been years after that.
Well, the Juwan Howard thing, I think, is bringing them together.
You think.
Chris still ain't jumped on board. Yep. Okay? Mm-hmm. And it's a shame because they did something special there in Boston. And I'm great friends with all of these guys. But it's just that tension part of it. I don't know if, even if they kind of make up, I don't think it's going to be authentic where it's like, come on, let's go to Wally's. You know what I'm saying? I just don't think
so. And they
so.
Invite the mayor of Wally's right here?
No. I'm the governor.
Oh, you're the governor.
I'm the governor. Okay. I'm the governor.
Yeah, trust okay. Me. He's the man.
You know, he the sergeant at arms over there right now. He's still working his way up.
Right.
Can you unwind him going to Miami? If you can't unwind that, this ain't coming together. And the other part of it is, that group doesn't really want to get with Ray, and Ray really doesn't want to get with them. I don't see either side being motivated to solve
I wonder if this is foreshadowing what's going to happen with Golden State and Kevin Durant. We're going to see a lot of people 10 years from now.
You know what? Ding, ding, ding.
Let's mark this down on the calendar. Yes, right? Take a look at that a year or so from now.
No, 10 years from now, we'll see a picture of everybody but KD.
So you'll say when they do the anniversary of them winning, and KD ain't going to be there in the anniversary picture.
Harrison Barnes going to come back.
Everybody's
going
back.
Iggy's back in
David
the picture.
Lee. David Lee. Let's just go back to Lee.
Dang, that's messed up.
They may have run TMC. Chris Mullin and everybody. Not you, KD. We're going to skip the next one and go to Darnell's question of the day.
Yes, sir.
All right, time for Darnell's question of the day. Darnell, take it away.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. So, U.S. women's star Megan Rapinoe, and by the way, it's her birthday, so happy birthday, Megan.
Happy birthday.
We all know she's never been afraid to speak her mind, and recently she stated that she's extremely American. So, I want to ask you guys, which active athlete best represents America?
Best active athlete that represents America. I thought about this morning. I had two candidates. Mm. Tom Brady and Steph Curry is where I landed.
Okay.
And I landed on Steph Curry. I like the, and why I like both of them is just not a great deal was expected of them. Steph doesn't fit the super athletic mold, but he's taken over the NBA. He's exceeded expectations, comes from a tremendous family. I love the values he represents. So I would go Steph Curry.
I landed on two athletes as well, Tom Brady and Common. Not a ton expected, even though, I mean, you're playing at Michigan, so you were something in high school. But look who he's become, the GOAT. And still with some flaw, like some flaws. Like you could just poke at him, whether it's personal, terms of personality. Sometimes it's not perfect, and I like that. I want a perfect pitch man or spokesman. And another one, maybe not a lot of people are hip to, Michael Norman. He runs track and field, went to USC, turned pro, is on pace to break the 400-meter record. Why him? Greater personality and a man of character than even his talents on the track. And he will be a household name like the Michael Johnsons, Carl Lewis, et cetera. But he's coming. Those are my two guys.
Tom Brady was one of my choices, too. Man, I mean, look, let's face it. He plays for the Patriots. Okay? It's pretty easy to connect. Mm. But I went with Madison Bumgarner. Because...
Wow.
Because he's old, he's white, and he's wealthy, and he plays America's pastime.
Here you go.
He's a little bit red ass, right? He's blue collar, right? But he still does stupid stuff like riding dirt bikes at the wrong time.
Mm.
And he's probably seen better times. So I'm going to add that.
Damn! That's why you were
Silicon Valley. That
was pretty good, man.
Not what he once was.
Mine is a lot simpler. Yeah. I'm going to say LeBron James. And I say it for this reason, because of where he came from. The American dream is all about giving yourself a chance to prosper, the bravado in it. You have a chance to make who you want to be, despite your circumstances. LeBron has done that. Despite growing up fatherless, moved around, single mom issues, then the expectations, but then to grow that into the entrepreneur, the philanthropist that he is, the way he's had an impact globally on the game. It's an American dream in regards to what you can do with talent if you push and motivate yourself, but also at the same time, you don't forget where you come from. Hmm.
And never stepped in it.
You know, like you're talking about
never.
Brady has his flaws, LeBron got his flaws. You know, he's messed up on some things, you know, the decision and everything like that. But one thing you can't question is what he's trying to do with his life as a role model and what he gives back.
Yeah, man.
You know, so that's the part I love.
Darnell, you got anybody?
Yes, sir. I was going to say Tiger Woods. We talked about it before. He's a guy who reached the top in terms of his success and literally overnight hit rock bottom and then slowly worked his way back up to, you know, to win the Masters again. So I think that's just the epitome of America, just second chances and be able to climb back to the top even when you fall.
And a lot of infidelity. Yeah, that is.
That's America. That's America.
This Sunday, Megan Rapinoe, Alex Morgan, and the U.S. put their legacy on the line against the Netherlands, the FIFA Women's World Cup final. Coverage begins Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern on Fox and the Fox Sports app. And don't miss the exclusive trailer debut of Disney's new movie, Mulan, this Sunday on Fox. Mulan will be in theaters early next year, but you can get a first look at the new trailer at halftime of the Women's World Cup final. All right, former Pro Bowl linebacker LeVar Arrington is here. Time now for cementing a legacy sponsored by Disney's Mulan in theaters this March. All right, let's move to Eli Manning, who has been in decline for several years now and is heading into this season with the Giants' first-round pick, Daniel Jones, breathing down his neck. Even still, Eli doesn't seem to be making plans to step aside anytime soon, telling reporters that he's not rushing into retirement and plans to play as long as he still can hang on with the young guys. I think this could be a little bit of a mistake. Mm. Hall of Fame quarterbacks don't become backup quarterbacks. That's not a good look. Now, Eli's going to the Hall of Fame more than likely, but this could be a little not. If he just wants to hang on and becomes Daniel Jones' backup quarterback, because that's what it sounds like to me, he just wants to milk this thing till the cows come home. That's not the way Hall of Fame quarterbacks end their career.
Yeah, there are Hall of Fame quarterbacks traditionally, and then there's Eli Manning in terms of his Teflon legacy. And look, if being a bad starter didn't taint his legacy, then being a backup I don't think is going to hurt as well. This is a guy that every time you want to take a shot at Eli, you realize that was a blank. And when they finally tried to make a move on Eli and say, hey, let's try and catch him when he's asleep and bench him when he's at his worst, how long did that last? One game. Then two people got fired in the organization.
consequently, this is an issue when you talk about Eli. Every time you look at him, you say, no good, no way. He's horrible. 2013, 2017, horrible seasons for Eli. Hey, I am a two-time Super Bowl MVP winner.
Twice.
And I think that keeps him in protected space no matter if he's on the field not looking good or if he's a backup trying to be a mentor.
You know, I'm going to add to that because I think those are great points. Not only did he get twice MVP in Super Bowl, but he did it against arguably the greatest franchise in the history of the National Football League and possibly the greatest football team in 2007 when he beat that undefeated team and got MVP. Right. So, but, you know, what's interesting enough, you mentioned Super Bowl winning quarterbacks, but he learned from one of the best backup quarterbacks to win Super Bowls in Kurt Warner, right? Think about it. He comes in. He's backing up Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner's legacy was not solidified in St. Louis. He comes to New York, doesn't have the type of career that he wanted to have in New York. Ends up going to this place called, Arizona. Arizona, he becomes a backup in Arizona twice and ends up in the Super Bowl. And I do believe that was the best season that Arizona Cardinals ended up having in the history of the franchise. So I don't think the story is told, but I do think his legacy is cemented and solidified whether he starts another game or not for another franchise or with the Giants.
If you all were Eli, given the two Super Bowls, one of the greatest accomplishments ever in football history, maybe other than Joe Namath knocking off the Colts, beating that undefeated Patriots team is one of the greatest things that ever happened in the NFL. If you all were him and have played as long as he had, made as much money as he had, would you hang on for dear life like he seems to be wanting to do?
Absolutely. There was an old adage, ball till you fall. I thought about it, but I was in the trenches. It's a whole different animal. I don't wear a red jersey in practice. Don't touch me or you're on a one-way greyhound out of here. Like, you're protected in practice. You're protected in space as a backup. You can still be a part of the game. But more than that, it's the restricted airspace that Eli is in. He occupies because of those two Super Bowl MVPs. Think about it. Bradshaw, Starr, Montana, and Brady are the only quarterbacks, people walking, that could ever say that they are there. And Eli Manning's in that category.
And I'll add to this, to the point that I played with Eli. For a year. I had a cup of coffee. You know, guys that don't have successful careers, that I got into the league, I had a cup of coffee.
I had a cup of coffee in
New York, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I got an opportunity to get to know a few guys very well, and Eli was one of those guys. If he becomes a backup, best believe that the brain trust of Eli Manning has already met and deliberated. We've seen it happen before. It was this thing, the draft, right? He went into the draft, and he went to the Chargers. The brain trust of Eli Manning said, no, we will not be going to the San Diego Chargers. Yeah. We're going to go to the larger market in New York, and it happened. Who else does that have? If his legacy was going to be ruined, it would have been ruined the minute he got drafted and said, I'm not going to the team you drafted me to. So I think he's fine. If he makes the decision to be a backup, he's going to keep going based upon what they've advised him to do and agreed upon, because he knows it's good for business if he does it the right way.
You want to party like a football star? Well, Saturday, July 20th, at the one and only Dre's Beach Club on the Las Vegas Strip, you can join Ty Dolla $ign, that dude Marcellus Wiley, and the entire Speak for Yourself crew at the pool party of the summer. For tickets or more information, visit dresgroup.com. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, Jim Jackson and Rick Bucher, who were not invited to the pool party.
Right, I turned it down.
Let's return to the Kawhi Leonard. Our guy Chris Carter has an update, tweeting, quote, after looking like we would find out today, we will not. Kawhi is still undecided and is not going to finalize his decision today. Also, contrary to other reports, Kawhi is not interested in signing a 1 or 2 year deal. When he signs, it will be a long term contract. Wow. Marcellus.
That last paragraph.
Okay. Yeah, we know where you want Kawhi to go.
Right.
But try to maintain some professional integrity here.
Not.
Tell us where and why Kawhi will sign.
I regretfully put this up. Tito, give me some tissue. He's going to be a Raptor. I really think he's going to be a Raptor. I'll be objective here. I think that right now his emotions are really looking towards how would I look? How will I be perceived? How will I feel if I depart this much success? That I actually was the main stirrer of this pot. I was the lead dog. Versus going somewhere else, and there's so much unknown, whether it's my Clippers, is that enough of a deep team, not star power, Layton, but deep team? Are they deep enough? Are they ready to go where I just went? Lakers, what is that team? I know what the top's going to look like, but all four of us going to play? We need a fifth at least. I just think the unknown, the fear of the unknown is going to make him feel comfortable and familiar with where he was and where he had success. He stays still.
Rick?
What he said. Ultimately, it's the familiarity. He doesn't have any questions about what he is going to have with Toronto. And I was told at the very beginning when he was first traded there, when he was at the All-Star game, he never left his room. And the belief was, because it was also one of the coldest weekends ever that I've experienced anywhere. But he's gotten through that. We haven't heard about him having any issues about living in Toronto and the team. And I just, that familiarity ultimately is going to carry the day. I had somebody in the Lakers organization that I was communicating with earlier today, and not with them having any specific knowledge, they were skeptical at this point. Generally, the people around the league.
Linda Rambis told you that?
It will.
The ghost owner?
The ghost. Yeah.
What? Did Cyber. I say he or she? Did I give away a pronoun there?
Yeah, right, right.
In any event, it is the longer this goes on, the more the feeling is for people who have been through this process that it's going to be staying home.
Stay still.
Mine is real simple.
Drake scene.
There you go. Because of the jet?
Well, I mean, the jet and...
That doesn't hurt.
You know, listen, I just think that the questions probably weren't answered that he was looking for with either the Clippers or the Lakers. Because if they would have been, if he had felt comfortable, he would have made the announcement. I mean, and what Masai is doing there, I think the relationships, it was, you know, that he's been able to form. And it allows, in Toronto, at quiet as kept, being in Canada, not in the spotlight, it allows Kawhi to still be Kawhi.
Yeah.
The expectation level doesn't change about his personality. In L.A., that's a different animal. Even if you want to stay Kawhi, it's different living and playing here.
Say it.
You know what I mean? In Toronto, he can still stay in a room if he wants and not worry about it.
That relationship with Masai, I think, is understated because you don't have a known entity. I mean, we're still questioning with the Lakers.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Magic
not even in meetings.
Yeah, well, right. and Magic is saying, go work with this person who backstabbed me, but you should go work. You should go. That's the team you should go to. And with the Clippers, I had heard it was a matter of, he just didn't know enough about Lawrence Frank and who was running it.
Ujiri doesn't want him to leave so he get that Washington deal with the ownership. Like, you know, Ujiri, like, my God.
Peace. There's a reason why they call me Big Sexy.
Uh-oh.
Big Mouth, Sexy Opinion. I was given that name years ago. Big Mouth, Sexy. And so y'all took the little safe route, the Toronto Raptors.
The little safe route.
I'm going to go out on a limb, as I'm prone to do. Clip City, Chip City, Clippers.
I hope.
I'm going to tell you why. This is what leads me to think that.
Okay.
I think if it were Toronto, why not already have announced it? I say if it's the Lakers, AD, LeBron, why not have already announced it? I think all of this delay is trying to give Jerry West and the Clippers a chance to throw a Hail Mary. Can they, in the next 24 hours or all this week, can they find a second player to trade in for and put a deal together that makes sense for Kawhi to come to the Clippers? I think the delay has been about giving Jerry West and the Clippers a chance. And then when I see this...
Put Whitlock
put
a bottle of scotch on. Put a bottle of scotch on.
That's me going out on a limb.
I don't think it's going to happen, but I like the theory.
It sounds good.
Uncle Jimmy's here.
Most definitely.
Is the circus in town? What's going on?
Now, man, the way I figured, you come on TV every day and you clown, so why not me try to come and out-clown you? You know what I'm saying? It don't bother you?
Where's your nose, though? Or are you going to use your real nose?
The other nose was too small.
You got a big dummy of the day or what?
Yeah, give us
that. Yeah, let me go ahead and get to the big dummy of the day. The big dummy of the day go to the person that said, time heals all wounds.
Yeah, that. Come on, cliche.
But then you followed it up by, I'm still mad because who was it that got Isaiah Thomas got booted off the All-Star team for who?
John Stockton.
But you still upset how many years?
Good point.
With your good hypocritical ass.
Good bad. All right, here's a highlight.
And I look like a clown.
From our discussion earlier about Zion Williamson. LeBron didn't make the playoffs as a rookie.
Right.
Zion Williamson is on a team that has a chance, I think, to win 45, 48 games.
Will Zion have that type of impact? Let me take the field. Let me take less than. And that could still be amazing, but the king has already come, brother.
All right, Uncle Jimmy, your take on Zion Williamson?
Look, first of all, we done already talked about Big Breakfast. Now, you do see right here. You see what that little sign say. Zatarani's, okay? That's a bad sign. Okay? He already hitting it 280 already. But I'm going to let that go. Hey, but really, on the for real, you hit a nice little spot with me, man. You start talking about soap operas and all that.
That has nothing to do with Zion. That was in the...
Listen, you talking about soap operas. All my children. You know, I agreed with you.
Talking about Kawhi Leonard.
You. You said LeBron James was like Erica Kane.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of these young kids can't relate to that. A lot of people don't know. Erica Kane was the queen of drama.
Yes, she was.
Now, she was the drama queen. LeBron, forgive me, little ghost, LeBron is the drama king. You remember Erica was always upset because she never won an Emmy. She never got her just due. Just like LeBron, always upset because he feel he ain't getting his just due. Erica was married 11 times. LeBron been married 11 times.
What?
He's married to D-Wade, Chris Bosh, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love. Now, remember, once TMZ got involved, that whole Tristan Thompson thing went real messy. Now, I didn't say nothing to nobody, but I used to see him driving around up at the Lawrence campus with little Mario Chalmers in his car. So, I knew then he wasn't a real committable type. Understand?
Committable.
You know? Now, he's still on his honeymoon with Anthony Davis. What the hell he doing all in Kawhi Leonard's Instagram? No commitment. You hear what I'm saying, nephew?
Good point.
I got you.
Good point.
I got you.
So, I'm just giving you your props. The daytime soap opera analogy was right.
You know, A-block.
But you messed up a little bit when you got to my boy Kawhi. You said he was Jesse Hubbard. Nah.
Jesse Hubbard from All My Children.
From All My Children, the little colored boy. Okay?
Oh, man.
Okay, if I compare him to somebody, I say he Victor Newman from Young and the Restless. Remember, Victor never got mad. He was real cool. He'd say things like, Nikki, you ignorant twit. Shut up and have my child. You know, he had that affair with Nikki going on for 38 years. She's still the number one stripper in that town.
Coming to the stage.
Remember he took over Abbott Fragrances? You know, from his arch rival, Jack Abbott. Remember, he's about that life.
You're a real soap opera addict.
You know what I'm saying? Now, but look at Kawhi. He done took over the whole city of Canada.
Canada's a country, not a city.
Man, school before soap operas, bro.
Man, listen, let me explain something to you, bro. And I'm just being honest with you. This is why I gave you credit. That was just a good time for me and Dessa, man.
I hear you.
Hey, man, I missed them day. You know, man, we would just lay up in bed all day long.
I could tell.
Just watching soap operas. Bro, if you walk in the room, all you smell was blunts, feet, Funyuns, and Fritos. Man, it got to the point, man, serendipitously, man, we found ourselves not eating. Man, we have to prepare our whole day around soap operas. We wouldn't schedule no job interviews or nothing. Because, see, Young and the Restless came on at 11. All My Children came on at 12. And then One Life to Live with Asus Buchanan and all them came on at 1. After all that, I had to take a nap. So I had to fit my job interviews, hell, in between 4 and 4:30.
All right, we've heard enough.
I mean,
we've heard enough. Let me get to my Zion Williamson approval rating.
ain't no job.
I'm actually dropping him from a 97, a near perfect score, to an 81. They say he's a little overweight, so I knocked him on job.
Oh, they would.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And then all-time greatness. We're starting the clock back over. He's in the NBA now, so I drop him there. 81, still GOAT status, but not quite the perfect score.
Oh, man. I actually made him go up 1 point. That's because, hey, Drew Brees already passed the torch to you in New Orleans with the gifting of the jersey. All-time greatness goes up 1 point. Everything else stays the same. I'm not gonna care if they think you fat or not. We'll see tonight when we watch you on the court. So
the only person don't think you fat is sitting up there.